Hello, I hope you're having a lovely day today. We are back to our series on biblical womanhood and the home. And today we are talking about singleness. And this video is it's a response video because, okay, I have our chicks right here. This is where they are in the house in their little bin. And so you might hear them scratching and chirping. They've just discovered they have wings, and so they keep jumping on each other. Hopefully it's nice ambient sound and not annoying. I like the sound of the chicks. We're gonna be very sad when they get too big and have to go outside. But this video is a response video mostly because every time, whether it be on the channel that Scott and I have together where we would share things on marriage or being a wife, or even on this channel, often when I'm talking about helping my husband is my career and a wife building her home, there always is the question of what about what Paul says when he says it is better to be single than to marry. And so this is a response video to that question, so that way also in the future, because it comes up so much that now I can just leave this link for every time that gets mentioned. And I try to think the best of people, that people are commenting with the utmost sincerity, but I think that there actually is two camps with this. I think that there are people who genuinely are wondering what we believe about what Paul says with that. And then I also think that there are people who don't like that we believe a wife is her husband's helpmeet and that all of our stances that are pretty countercultural. And I think that their immediate response is, well, I'm gonna pull out something out of the Bible just to push against what you say since you think you're following the Bible. And sometimes you can get a feel for if a comment is sincere or if they're being quarrelsome and contentious. And I have tried my very best to make it a general rule to not engage with quarrelsome or contentious women because there's just no benefit. Even if you give them the most honest, thought-provoking response in the kindest way, they don't actually care. They will double down and become even more aggressive. So it's just better not to even engage. But because this gets asked so much, and I'm going to do a few videos in the future about singleness and what to do in your season of singleness and things that really helped me, because I didn't meet my husband until I was 25. And so I had never had a boyfriend either up until I met my husband. So just my own testimony and tips, advice, testimonies, things that encouraged me in waiting and in believing and in building faith that I would get married. I'm going to do several videos on the topic of singleness. And so because of that, I do feel it's appropriate for me to start with this video. So if you have the question about what if a woman isn't called to marriage, or what do you do with Paul saying it's better that you would remain single, that is what we're talking about. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians, and I'm just going to read through exactly the part that always gets quoted in the comments, and that is from 1 Corinthians. We'll start with chapter 7, verses 1 through 11, and then we'll skip some and then come back. So I'm going to read it all. Now concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman, but because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should give his wife her conjugal rights and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Now, as a concession, not a command, I say this, I wish that all were as I myself am. Did you get that part? Now, as a concession, not a command. Then he says, but each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. To the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. To the married I give this charge, not I, but the Lord. The wife should not separate from her husband, but if she does, she should remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband, and the husband should not divorce his wife. And then we will skip to verse 32 through 35. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. And his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. So yes, Paul does say that he wishes that all were as himself. Then he says, which I emphasized when I was reading it, so you probably caught on to it. He says, but, and we cannot ignore that word, but, because he then says, each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. And then he says, but again, if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. So if we're going to talk about singleness, and if we're going to talk about being called to singleness and what Paul says, then we have to talk about chastity, exercising self-control. And as always with all my videos, I am speaking to ladies. So if you're like, well, why aren't you talking to men? Because that also always comes up when talking about these things, especially about remaining pure. I'm not talking to men. I'm talking to women. My channel is not for men. I'm not addressing men. Go find a man to watch if you're a man. This is not for you. This is for women. So if a woman has the conviction that Paul has of not getting married, or as Paul actually calls it, the gift of not getting married, then that means that she is committing herself to celibacy, which is abstaining from sex. And so if you have even the tiniest desire or attraction or lust or interest or whatever you want to call it, if you have any remote interest in a man, then you are more than likely, most likely, not called to singleness because of what Paul says. But if you burn with passion, then you should marry. And so therefore, I would say that most women are not called to singleness because most women do not have that gift or desire of celibacy. Most women are attracted to men. Most women do want to make love with their husband someday. And so if you are going to say that you are called to singleness, then you better not be sleeping around or desiring to. I always love what my husband has said in our past videos, but he always says, if you are called to celibacy, then you will know you are called to celibacy. And you're probably then not going to be watching videos on how to be a helpmate to your husband. So I, again, always find that very interesting because the videos that these comments often come on are on videos about how to be my husband's helper. Helping my husband is my career. And it's on those videos that this comment comes up. But then my thought is, if I were called to celibacy, I wouldn't watch a video about being a helpmeet and then get offended that it was talking about being a helpmeet to your husband, which is also biblical, and then start throwing scripture out. Well, what if you're not called to get married? And it's like, well, if you're not called to get married, then praise God for your obedience to him. If you feel that you are called to celibacy, as Paul said he was, then praise the Lord. That is a gift. That is a blessing upon your life. And that is something honorable and beautiful and wonderful. And I'm saying that if you are desiring to get married, then you probably don't fall into that category. And instead of living in this, well, what if I'm called to singleness, or what if I'm called to marry, then if you have the desire to get married and you want to get married, you want to make love someday, then you should probably more so focus on, okay, I do want to get married. I don't think I'm called to a lifelong singleness because I do want to get married. So now I am going to put into action in prayer and ask God and seek God about my future husband, because then that is building faith for marriage instead of living in this weird in-between stage of, well, maybe I'm called to singleness. But if this guy happens to come around that I'm really interested in, then yes, I probably would marry him. That's not being called to singleness. That is not what Paul is talking about. But while we are on the topic of those who are called to singleness or celibacy, as Paul did talk about, I do want to give a few examples that are positive visions or positive testimonies to women who were called to celibacy. And the first one that always comes to my mind is Amy Carmichael. And I love what Leslie Ludi wrote in a blog post. I'll link the blog post below, but I'm going to read direct from it. And she wrote this based off of Elizabeth Elliot's book on Amy Carmichael. And so she says, "Another way Amy embraced sacrificial love was by joyfully accepting the life of singleness to which she felt God had called her. When she first arrived onto the mission field, she began to feel lonely and longed for a husband and children. The desire continued to grow until finally she knew she needed to get alone with God and pray about it. She retreated to a cave and spent the day pouring out her heart to him and listening to his answer. She felt him speak clearly to her heart that she was not to marry, but was also given the promise that as she put her trust in him, she would never be desolate. From that point forward, she gladly embraced her call to singleness and gave herself entirely to the work in which God called her. And true to his promise, she was never again lonely. Hundreds of Indian children called her Amma, and many precious Indian women saw her as a beloved sister." And I think that's such a good testimony. She obviously was struggling with loneliness. She brought this before God. She felt God say that she is not to get married, and it was settled. So if you are wrestling with this, bring this before God. Let him speak to you. I did this. I remember when I was in college, I had just given my life to Jesus, and I was reading Passion and Purity from Elizabeth Elliot, and she wrestled with this herself of wondering if she was called to singleness because she was going to be on the mission field, and that's why her relationship with Jim Elliot was delayed. Their marriage was delayed for, I think it was 5 years, because both of them didn't know if they were called to marriage, and so they were wrestling with the Lord about it, seeking him, and then they did end up getting married. And so as I'm reading that, I thought to myself, well, I think I'm going to be on the mission field, and so these are questions that I'm also bringing before the Lord, and I also wondered, am I called to celibacy? Am I called to singleness? And I knew without a doubt that I wasn't, because I liked guys on my campus. I was interested in guys on my campus. And as often as I tried to lay those interests, that desire at God's feet, that desire always came back to me of, no, I think I am called to get married. I am called to get married. And I am now married. There will be a peace that passes all understanding if you are called to celibacy. And I think that that is really encouraging from Amy Carmichael's testimony, when she did get a word from God, and then from that point forward, she gladly embraced her call to singleness and gave herself entirely to the work which God had called her. So she didn't go back wondering again, like, oh, maybe I didn't hear from God. I'm not sure. Was that from God or was it not from God? She fully committed to a life of celibacy. Another example, which is a different type of example, and I actually find kind of sad, to be quite honest, but again, this is how faithful and how good God is, and we don't understand his ways, but his ways are always good and for our good and for the good of the kingdom. And my next example is Corrie Ten Boom and her sister Betsy. I have Corrie Ten Boom's book, Don't Wrestle, Just Nestle, and I read that in 2021, changed my life. It's a book that I can read over and over and over again, and it always encourages me. But just this past fall, I read The Hiding Place for the first time, and that is one of the best books I've ever read. I've heard so many say that that is one of the best books, and I could never understand how anyone could say The Hiding Place is a good book because of the context of what it's about. But it was so encouraging for my faith to see these two sisters and their family take God at his word and live a life of obedience to him in circumstances that were just terrible. And so if you haven't read The Hiding Place, I recommend it. And if you haven't read Don't Wrestle, Just Nestle, I also recommend that. It's a very thin book, so you can get through it fairly quickly. But Corrie ten Boom and her sister is another example. And when I was reading The Hiding Place, it honestly broke my heart reading her story of how she ended up being single for life, because she says she wanted to get married, and she actually, there was a young man who she thought she was going to marry, and to make matters worse, he wanted to marry her, and the only reason he didn't was because his family didn't let him. It was so sad when I read that. But what did she then do with her singleness? She then stayed living in her father's household and helped the family business. He was a watchmaker, and so her and her sister, Betsy, helped him with running the family business. They gave their gifts to her father's business, and it was in that place, in that family business, that God used them to hide the Jewish people. So God used her in that place. We may not understand God's ways, but God's ways are good. So there are examples of women who are called to singleness, but each of those women come to a point of conviction about it. They settle themselves on the matter of, this is what God has called us to, and they knew it. And for most women, this will not be the case. And I would say this is very similar to having children. And this is a really hard topic to talk about for both marriage and with children. For a lot of women, their deepest desire is to get married. And for a lot of women, their deepest desire to have children. And we fall in the boat of our deepest desire is to have children, and that yet hasn't yet happened for us. But I can be honest enough to say that even though we haven't been blessed with children yet, most women will be blessed with children. So when someone makes a video about parenting or raising your children, I am not going to make a comment and say, well, what about those of us who haven't been blessed with children? What about those of us who haven't been given children? And it's like, well, there is a time and a place for that conversation, but if you clicked on a video about raising children, then that is what you're going to get. So that's where it's kind of interesting. If you're clicking on a video about being a helpmeet, and then you're going to be upset that the whole video is trying to help either women get married, give them advice, tips, things that they can do to help them meet their husband. You shouldn't be upset, because you should know, if you are called to singleness, that, okay, well, I may be called to singleness, but I know that most will get married. And that's the case for us. I still have faith that we will have children, but right now we don't. And it's been many years and we haven't been blessed with children. And still, I will say, most women will have children. And so I say that to relate to you, if you are in a place of singleness, I understand the cry of your heart. I understand the wrestling with God about these things, asking him like, is this your plan for my life? Is this what you have for us? But also, I am going to keep in faith. If you have the desire to get married and God has not given you this conviction or this peace or ease or conviction that you are going to be single, then I would encourage you to continue to build your faith, continue to seek him. And I would say in today's world, there are many women who are in their late 20s, 30s, 40s, who are single, yet it is not out of a deep conviction for being single. If the opportunity came for them to marry a God-fearing man that they loved, they would say yes in a heartbeat. And so if that you're in that situation where if a God-fearing man came into your life that you could see yourself living the rest of your life with, if you would say yes to marrying him, then you are not in the celibacy camp of being called to singleness for life. If you're going to events or to churches and you're looking around seeing, is there any prospects here? Or is there anyone who I could potentially marry? Then you are probably not called to singleness. And so with all of this, I would encourage you, if you are in this place of wondering these questions, asking God about these things, bring these desires to God. No matter how old you are, what your life circumstances are or have been, God can do for you more than you could ever ask or imagine. Bring these things to Jesus. Seek him. Seek his heart. Ask him to speak to you. Ask him to give you a word. Ask him for direction. Go to the leaders in your life, your father, elders of your church. Talk to them about these things. Maybe you need to process with an older woman in your church and ask her questions about these things and ask her for help and guidance and ask for prayer about these things. My hope is if someone deeply wants to be married, yet circumstantially they're not married, to then say, well, I'm called to singleness just because of your circumstances. Instead, be honest with yourself of, well, I happen to be single. It's actually when, I'll share the story in detail of how I met Scott here soon, but when I met Scott, I overheard him in conversation and he said, well, I'm intentionally single right now. And that didn't last but for a few days that he was intentionally single. And I had thought when I overheard him say that, I was like, wow, I'm gonna start using that line because that sounds really good. I'm intentionally single right now. And I never got to use that ever because I ended up marrying him. And so I think sometimes we use that almost as a band-aid because you do wanna get married and it hurts that it's not happening and it's disappointing. And so sometimes it's easier just to be like, well, I'm intentionally single, or I'm called to singleness. And if you're using that as, well, I'm in a season of singleness, but I would love to get married, I think that's a better frame, because then you're in faith, you're building faith. Faith is what is pleasing to God. So you can say, I'm in faith that I will get married, but right now I'm single. And you can use your single season to prepare yourself for marriage. Being single isn't bad, being single isn't a terrible thing, but be honest about where you are with your singleness, and you can use your singleness to prepare for when you're married, which will be my next few videos in this series will be for the single ladies, the single girls. That's my biggest desire, is to encourage you in your time of singleness and what that can look like for you and how that can be a time of edification. And it shouldn't be a wasted season. It can be a beautiful season that is giving glory to God, and then also preparing you for meeting your future husband and having a wonderful, blessed marriage that you can start preparing for now before you even know who your husband is. So I want to finish this video with the scripture from Psalm 34, verse 10. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. So wherever you are in this category of committed to singleness or desiring to get married, those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. So may you today be encouraged to seek Jesus about this area of your life and come with expectation that He will speak to you. So I hope that this has encouraged you, and I hope that you have a lovely rest of your day. If you liked today's episode, please consider leaving a rating and review. It is very helpful, and I hope that you enjoy your day. God bless you.